right, ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, we get together with some real wisdom. Brother Johnny in New Orleans, Louisiana. Morning, Johnny.
Stevie J, how's it going?
It's going great. Mike Ditka, golf course, Naples, Florida. His chance to show the golf world just how powerful he can be out there. Mike, who still shoots in the 80s, you say, right, Mike?
Yeah, I do. But yesterday I had my career round. I shot 75. Don't ask me how I did. I don't know how I did.
Wow. Good job.
I don't know.
If I knew how I did it, I would do it every time.
75.
Nice going, coach.
Unbelievable. I'm calling ESPN. That's a top 10 play of the day.
75. Wow.
I mean, was it just fairways and greens? What were you doing?
Well, I got to get it up and down once in a while, fellas. I had to do that. But I hit some good shots, made some birdies, and, you know, it's a little better now than it was.
So, unbelievable.
Yeah, I've traveled around there in the 80s.
I don't know. Could be the shock of the golf world. Mike Ditka joins the Champions Tours. Come on!
Well, Stevie, I wanted to go down. You and I need to go down and play with him, but I don't know now.
No, I don't. I mean, 27 strokes for me, Mike.
Believe me, and I told my friend, there was no pressure on me, and I did play good. And, I can't do it. I'm going out there today. It'd be interesting. I'm going to laugh about this one.
All right. Good to have both of you on again. Let's get right to Joe Vitt, the new interim now for the New Orleans Saints. Mike, you've got a coach that's suspended for 6 games now. Who runs the show while Joe Vitt serves his suspension?
Well, they'll do it as a staff. I mean, they'll put it together as a staff, and I think it's much better. And I don't know what, John. I think it's much better to keep this thing out in house. Actually, Sean Payton is still the head coach. The organization knows what they want to do, and they're going to go that course. I mean, that's all there is to it. They'll do it as a staff. They'll assign somebody to run the offense, put the offense together, run the special teams, and run the defense. That's the way it's going to be done. It has to be done that way. So, you know, it's going to take a little work, but it can be done, and it can be done effectively.
I think you're right about keeping it in-house, Mike. And, you know, we did have a little bit of a trial run, actually, when Sean broke his leg pretty badly last year.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
And he was, you know, he wasn't around during the games, and he was out for a while, and they did it as a staff, and they won every game through that period. And so I think, you know, they know what to do. The offense, now we have a new defensive coordinator anyway, and I'm glad they didn't put him. They were talking about putting him as head coach. I think somebody needs to work the defense, and they'll be all right, I guess.
All right, so what about the guy named Drew Brees? We have to get him signed, don't we?
Well, he's going to play this year because he's franchised, but
he could see theoretically sit out. I mean, if he didn't want to take the money, but I mean,
no, he's not going to sit. That's still $20 million. So
I thought it was 14.
Okay, sorry.
Drew Brees is a great football player, but I think somewhere along the way, you've got to come to the realization, you know, that, you know, this is the sport, and both sides are entitled to make money. You know, you can't hold up the bank. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I agree that there's no loyalty in the sport. The owners aren't loyal. The players aren't loyal. I don't know. But, you know, if they lose him, it would be a big loss. But, you know, he's 35, isn't he?
Well, He's. I don't think we're going to lose him, but if we did, it'd be the end of this era. But you know, Mike, too. They were sitting down, trying to come to terms, and this whole bounty thing blew up right there at the last week or two. And I think they just didn't. I don't think they've had a chance to. They just franchised it to put it on the back burner, and they have till July to make a deal. I think we're thinking they're going to do that, but
Would Drew report Monday when he can, and these early workouts, these are volunteer workouts, but if he's not signed, maybe he doesn't come.
Oh, I think so, Steve. He's on the team. He's going to get paid. I think it's more than 14, too. I think it's going to be in the average of the top 5 paid.
Well, I think his value, obviously, is way more now, considering the situation, isn't it?
Well, he could help, quote, coach the offense, end quote. We got to have Drew Brees. Forget about it without him. Oh. So that becomes part of the game. I think we're smart enough to know that. So, I think they'll work that out down here in New Orleans.
All right. Let's move to basketball. Bruce Weber was in town. He had his final banquet. He showed up. Standing ovation, tears, Bruce Weber off to Kansas State, where he's there this morning in Manhattan starting his recruiting efforts there, Johnny.
Well, Stevie J, and I did a little research on that, and we always like Coach did a great job for us. But, Mike, get this. Top five basketball coaches in terms of annual salary. Number one, Rick Pitino, $7.5 million a year.
Woo!
Calipari, $4.5 million. That's quite a gap between Pitino and Calipari. Krzyzewski at Duke, $4.1 million. Billy Donovan, number four, at $3.5 million. And for the next 3 years, at fifth, tied with Bill Self, is Bruce Weber. $1.3 million from us and $1.7 from Kansas State. Go, Bruce. So, hey, you know what? There's always a silver lining, Mike.
Got a better deal. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate. But, everything comes down to wins and losses. Sometimes programs, college programs, every program doesn't look at what the guy brings to the value of the organization, the university. I thought he did a great job. Now, I understand you got to win basketball games, but these guys who are making these decisions to get rid of the coaches, that they have never coached a game or played a game in their life, most of them.
Well, I think I wish him. Well, I think he'll do fine, and we'll miss him, and we'll see how we do, Stevie.
Yep. All right, we go to Ozzie Guillen. Ozzie Guillen suspended by the Miami Marlins for comments he made apparently to Time Magazine regarding Fidel Castro. Ozzy is a lightning rod, Mike, but he admits he made a mistake on this one.
Well, yeah, we've all done that. I mean, sometimes your mouth gets engaged before your brain starts working. He said he was thinking in Spanish and speaking in English or something. Right? I don't know. You just got to be careful, especially in Miami.
Yeah.
In a community like that, Fidel Castro is not a good person to anybody. Now, I understand what he was trying to say, that we've done our best to get rid of him, and we haven't been able to do that. So, but you're still, you got to be careful. And he apologized, and it's over. It should be over. Let it go.
Okay. All right. So will the Cuban Americans in Miami ever forgive him, or is this one of those deals when you say, I love Castro and admire him? Even if he said it was lost in translation, there'll be people there that hold this grudge on Ozzie Guillen probably during his entire tenure.
Well, there's no that there are, but people—that's their prerogative. But they can do whatever they want to do. Doesn't make them right. Doesn't make them wrong. Just makes them them.
Nope.
Well, and then of course the Cubans in Miami have always had the dream of going back after Fidel's gone to Cuba, and so they don't like Fidel. Anybody who does is probably not on their Christmas list.
Yeah. All right, brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM, and in myconnectfm.com, streaming worldwide. And a shout-out to our Aunt Gwendy, who's listening from West Virginia this morning, as she does on Fridays, Johnny. So,
all right, Gwendy.
Good to have her listening. Let's move to politics, where Barack Obama earlier this week.
Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody, we all love this country, but there is a fundamental difference in how we think we move this country forward. These folks, they keep telling us that if we just weaken regulations that keep our air or our water clean or protect our consumers, if we would just convert these investments that we're making through our government in education and research and healthcare, if we just turn those into tax cuts, especially for the wealthy, then somehow the economy is going to go stronger. That's the theory. And here's the news. We tried this for 8 years before I took office. We tried it.
All right, we tried it. It doesn't work. How do you read that, Johnny?
Well, it works. It absolutely works. The country works. America works. It's worked better than any other country ever created. And, we've had problems. I think there is some problems with Wall Street, and I've been saying that for 25 years, because there's too much money going to too many people who aren't doing anything. But the rest of us out here are working pretty hard, and when you overtax, you get a government that gives you about 10 cents on the dollar in efficiency. They're trying. They can't do it. They can't do any of these things. And when you leave it in the in the economy, which is in the neighborhood. What do you spend your money? What does Mike spend his money on? What do I spend my money on? We just buy stuff around here, or we build things and hire people. That's where the money goes that we've got. The government, it goes to Brazil. It goes to Pakistan. Some of it comes back around, but then you have to fill out forms, and it becomes random, and there's no face to it, and that just doesn't work. That's what he wants to do doesn't work, and we're trying to tell him that, but Mike, he doesn't listen for that. If you disagree with him, you need to go. Supreme Court needs to go. They may disagree. Yeah. We need to do something about it. He thinks he's correct about everything, including that he's the best president who ever lived. So I think something's wrong with that guy. He's not going to be the great man that he thinks he is until he understands he can be wrong and someone else can be right.
Well, all that stuff he just said is the biggest crock of crap you've ever heard.
Exactly.
First of all, the problem in this country right now is big government, is too many regulations, is all that stuff. Now, we have quit encouraging individuals to achieve. The whole idea of our society is that you work your butt off and you get somewhere. Yeah, everybody should pay their fair share. That includes everybody. You know, but he's got this thing about the Buffett thing. About, fine, you know, if Buffett has eluded and beat the tax system, it's because the tax system is totally flawed. They've let him beat it. Now, what you want to do, if you want to go to a flat tax and eliminate all that, get rid of all these deductions, fine. You know, here's what it is. You make this, you pay this. And that ain't too complicated. But then again, then you destroy the IRS because you don't need all these clowns running around trying to figure out how you're cheating them. So, listen, but you're talking about a guy that's really putting a spin on things right now. He has spun this thing so far left, it's ridiculous, you know, and it's crazy. The 8 years before, you got to get over. He's got to get over that. Come on.
Yeah, because this is 4 years into
what he's doing now. He has totally increased the deficit. His administration, everything is up except jobs.
Yeah.
He took off.
Well, you know, and this tax the rich or tax the Buffett rule, Steve. This is fine. Do you know how much money it's going to be? $50 billion that it'll generate if he wants to tax the rich at 30% instead of 15 over 10 years, Mike. Do you realize we're at 16 trillion.
Years,
if you have $1,000, that's $2.
That doesn't even pay our interest on a debt.
Yeah.
It doesn't pay. It's $2 out of $1,000,
yeah,
Steve. It's like standing there and continually hammering someone to give them the $2 because I owe these people $1,000 and it's your fault. It's your fault I can't pay them. Give them his $2. But the problem is they're continually spending at an increasing rate and increasing government. That's what the regulations do. They don't give us clean air. Actually, they stop us from having clean air in some ways because it gets so overburdened, you can't do anything.
And then to Trenton, New Jersey, Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey this week, said this.
I've never seen a less optimistic time in my lifetime in this country. And people wonder why. I think it's really simple. It's because government's now telling them, stop dreaming, stop striving, we'll take care of you. We're turning into a paternalistic entitlement society. That will not just bankrupt us financially. It will bankrupt us morally. Because when the American people no longer believe that this is a place where only their willingness to work hard and to act with honor and integrity and ingenuity determines their success in life, then we'll have a bunch of people sitting on a couch waiting for their next government check.
Johnny?
Well, I mean, you know, that's part of what we're fighting is for an opportunity to get rewarded for what you do and for a motivation to work hard. And Christie's right. That's kind of where we're headed. I don't think anybody really wants the government to take care of them, but when they vote for some of these programs or for a guy like Barack Obama, that's what he's selling. And the way he's getting political strength is this promise to take from the rich, I guess, and spread the wealth. He wants to spread the wealth, but It doesn't. That's what doesn't work, Steve. You can't spread the wealth. You can only destroy the wealth. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You can spread the power, and that's what our Constitution does, and that gives everybody the best shot. The United States gives you your best shot. Why does every single country who has any human being have people that want to come here and who have come here? That's America.
Well, I disagree with one thing you said, John. I think there are a lot of people in our country who don't want to work, who do want to have a handout, who do sit there, do nothing, and put their hand out because they know the government won't take care of them. And that's what Chris is talking about right there. That's exactly what he's talking about. And he's 100% right. I mean, listen, we are, it's a great country, but it's going the wrong direction right now. And it's going to continue to go the wrong direction unless we change the politics of this country. The people who get in office who think, don't talk, think, act, do things that will make us a better country instead of driving us more and more into debt. And that's basically what they're doing. They can go back and blame it on the last five administrations if they want to. But look at their record since they took office. Compare their record. Don't say that the wheels were in motion. The wheels were not in motion. You put them in motion when you took office. You were going to make change. Change from what to what?
That's a good question. But I'll tell you, I think that 95% of the people, Mike, do want to work. They want to succeed. Granted, what Christy said about stop you from dreaming, that'll take away any motivation you have. You can't do it. They're not going to let you do it. That's what shuts you down, and you just sit there frozen and wait for someone to help you because you've been told you can't do it. Everybody wants to create, and when you take America's given people the opportunity to do that, including you and Stevie and I, and that's really what everybody wants, something like that. And the government can't give you anything like that. And that's what he's saying. But I think that most people would like to be productive because they're not happy when they're not.
Well, and
I agree with you saying most. I mean, there's no question about it. And what you say is 90% or 95%, I agree with that too. But I'm saying that we've created an attitude in our country where there's a certain percentage who are willing to sit back and let everybody take care of them. And that's wrong. It wasn't that way before. The country wasn't founded that way. When your grandparents came over from Europe, it was totally different. They were taught that they had to go to work, they had to have a job, they had to put food on the table, they had to put a roof over them. You know, that's what they were taught. Nobody was going to give them anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I certainly think there's been probably, maybe in my lifetime, never a clearer choice as far as the direction people want to go. The question is, can it at all be positive this time, or is this going to be a total class warfare, vote for me because the other guy's so bad? Is there any way to avoid that, Johnny?
Well, it's starting out like a major battle between, if it's not class, it's race, it's economy, it's the philosophy, and it's not a very respectful. Every now and then they'll throw, we all disagree, but then there's an all-out assault or attack, and it's not necessarily based on any sort of fact. I've never seen more of to me, in my opinion, Mike, and maybe I'm the one seeing it wrong, but I just don't think I've seen more of a blatant attempt to divide this country in two. I've never seen such a blatant, open attempt to do it. And it's not healthy.
John, you saw the thing on the woman comment the other day. It's ridiculous.
Ann Romney? Romney's never worked a day in her life now.
When has it become a disgrace to have a woman stay at home and raise a family? I mean, my God, I mean, where are the brains of these individuals who make these comments? I mean, it makes no sense at all. These people, she raised five kids. I don't care if they were a fluid family or not. Try to raise kids. See what.
But, Mike, here's what's good about that one. I'll tell you, classic. I remember when they were on Sarah Palin for not staying home with her kids
right.
And wasting time as a governor when she has all these kids.
Yeah, that's so true. It was a complete opposite. Oh, I can't believe
it. Spin artist.
Yeah. Well,
it's hypocrisy. Well, but Steve, I've never seen it I don't think I've seen it quite as intense. And maybe I'm just getting older. But it just seems like it's just more high intensity and really more vicious now than ever.
All right. So
you're not getting older. You're getting more aware.
Maybe that's it.
Well, it's certainly contentious times, and it's a head shaker on just how
we're going to make it. We're going to have to make some changes. Oh, you know, another change. I don't know what kind of change that was. That's all you got left in your pocket is change right now.
I mean, there's no question. In 2008, it was we're not red states, we're not blue states, we're Americans. I'm a uniter, not a divider. All that's out the door. All that's gone. It's a bunch of stuff, and just like we suspected. And yet it was a feeling in 08 for a whole bunch of people that said, finally, we're going to all get along. Finally, we're going to come together. He's going to bring everybody together. And it's just been such a divide.
Well, I think so. Mike pointed out that there's just lashing out going on. And I can tell you, in my experience, no matter what you're doing, whether you're playing a sport or starting a business or volunteering, whenever you run into somebody who's always whining, and I whine, but I don't always whine, and always blaming someone, what's my fault? He did it. Look at George Bush. Look at this. I never did it. You got to get rid of the Supreme Court if that's what they're going to do. They never succeed at anything. You know, Mike, have you noticed that people who are always blaming somebody else or something else that went wrong, they just never succeed because they can't press forward. They can't sustain anything. And Barack Obama struggles because he just has a hard time looking at what he's doing and saying, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this.
Usually what happens, though, John, in our society, when you point out another person's deficiencies, you're trying to hide yours.
Yeah.
And basically, you're trying to change the subject to what people were thinking about. And we don't have, and let's put it this way. People hear things, and they hear something the president says, well, he's the president. He said it must be right. And I think there's a certain segment of our society who believes that. So when you spill all this stuff out there, and it's really garbage to me, and if people can't get their way through the garbage, then, you know, they're going to pick up and believe a lot of this stuff.
You know, president saying it's not working. I think America's working. Let me tell you an example of something that doesn't work. Korean rocket doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't make it.
That's right. Yeah.
That doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just a comment.
Johnny,
if you want to know,
I'll just have firecrackers like that.
Hey guys, I appreciate it. I'll call you Monday.
Right,
thanks,
guys.
Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Good luck golfing, Mike.
Thank you,
we'll
Mike.
Talk to you later.
Follow
thanks.
Up that 75, buddy. That's Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny, New Orleans. Mike Ditka, Naples, Florida, where Mike shot 75 yesterday. Wow, what a score. That's awesome. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.